That was wonderful, and thank you, choir. Before I read Luke's gospel, I just wanted to preface it by saying this, that I think a lot of people rightly and earnestly want to see the power of God at work in their lives. And to that, I would say, then go to those places where the power of God is working. And what I mean by that is go to a place of need and see if there's someone there helping with the need. Go to a place where there is sickness and see if there are those there trying to bring about healing. And that's where you'll find God at work, because God knows that all of us in one way or another are going to experience life's brokenness. We can't avoid it. But God's purpose, way back when and even today and in the future, is one of wanting to redeem and save. And so when we begin to have faith, and we put that faith in God's salvation, we also need to join God in His purpose. And Rick Warren got pretty famous talking about that. But it's a purpose that's going to continue forever. And it's one that bears fruit. And if we join God in that endeavor, then we will experience the power of God at work, because we're doing those things that God would be doing while He's here. And that's basically what Jesus is going to announce to the crowd. He's going to be very clear in telling them God's purpose. Before He really gets into all the details of carrying it out, He's already begun His ministry, but He wants them to know what God is up to. And hopefully, they'll follow Him into it. And so in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, it says, "Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about Him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues, and He was praised by everyone. When He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was His custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Him. He unrolled the scroll, and He found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He has anointed Me to bring good news to the poor. He sent Me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Him. And then He began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I said, Jesus is letting the people know God's mission here on earth. Jesus said, as He read, "It is to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus tells the people, this is the day. This is the moment. This is the time when all of that is going to be carried out, and I'm going to be the one doing it. People have been looking for God's salvation. They've been wanting God's salvation. Jesus says, I'm going to do it. And it really takes the people by surprise. And that's really different if you remember the passage Ron read. It's different when God wanted to do the same with Moses. After the voice that spoke from the burning bush, the fire that didn't consume the bush, but allowed the bush to talk. After the revelation of God's name, after a staff turning into a snake and then back into a staff again. After a leprous hand is transformed into a healed hand, Moses responds to the call and purpose of God with something like, "With all due respect, God, isn't there someone else? Couldn't you find somebody more qualified? You know, I'm not really up for such a task. I mean, I'm not that good at thinking the right thing to say, or I'm not really quick on the wit, and I just don't know about this going before the most powerful man in the world and telling him that he needs to let all the slaves go free." God says to Moses, "Who made a person's mouth? And who makes someone deaf, seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak." God is not only calling Moses to a task, God is there with those words also promising that he will provide what is needed to carry out the plan. And even with that, Moses responds to the Lord's request with, "Oh my Lord, please send someone else." You know, much like Jonah, who didn't want to go and tell the people of Nineveh that they were living in sin and they needed to turn back to God, I would imagine Moses in this particular moment would want to join Jonah on the next ship to Tarshish so that they could spend their time doing something else, free from the responsibility of having to help build God's everlasting and loving kingdom. But you know, God obviously didn't have plans for a substitute. God had plans for Moses. God also had plans for Jesus. The plan of God for Moses included separation from his Hebrew family, being placed in a basket in the Nile River, and it also included being found and adopted into the royal family of Egypt. You see, it's only God that could elevate a Hebrew slave into the position of a prince. God was in control all along, orchestrating a plan for the deliverance of his people. From a basket of reeds to an elegant bed fit for a king to a shepherd in exile, God was preparing Moses for ministry, but he just had not yet connected the dots. And with such a big ask or a large request placed before him, Moses focused on his own ability and his availability, and he shrunk back from the challenge. He was a hesitant volunteer. Jesus carried out God's will because he cooperated with God's Spirit. Twice in the passage I read to you from Luke, in verse 14, we're told, Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, return to Galilee. You have Jesus, who received the Holy Spirit at his baptism, returning still in the Spirit to Galilee. And then in verse 18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." I think as someone who was fully human, Jesus was able to cooperate and carry out God's purpose for his life in a most perfect way, because he had something besides his own power and his own talent. He had God's help. He had God's Spirit. It was divine partnership. And it is being available to that divine partnership that gives Jesus everything he needs to fulfill the will of his Father. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus, I am sure, could say things like, I can do all things through my Father in heaven who gives me strength. If he asks me to walk on water, well then, I'll walk on water. If he asks me to speak in order to calm the stormy seas, I'll speak. If he wants me to dare try and feed thousands of people with just a few fish and a couple of loaves, I'll pray, I'll ask for his help, and then I'll do it. If he asks me to lay down my life so he can pick it back up again for his use, then Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Use me as you have planned. The result of cooperation, the result of availability, the result of trusting his life to God's purpose is that he made a blessed difference in the lives of those around him. Instead of living for himself and deciding to live for the Lord, God's power was unleashed through him. So what will we do with our hands while we're here on earth? Moses had a staff in his hand, and God told him to throw it down. Transformed into a snake, and as Ron read, it gave him a bit of a scare. And then what I like next is God's request, Moses, pick it up by the tail. Yeah, right. I don't know about you and snakes, but I don't know that I'd want to do that. But he cooperates. It's transformed back into his staff. I'm sure he could say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This was now a very special stick. Because it wasn't only in his hands, it was in the hands of his Father, God. You know, God wanted to reassure Moses that he had all he needed to do and that he had all that was required to carry out what God had purposed. And so Moses was then asked, put your hand in the cloak, and he does, and he pulls it out, it's leprous. And God says, put your hand back in, and he does, and when he pulls it out, it is healed. A little cooperation obviously went a long way in transforming that hand from leprous to hand of healing. Our world needs transformation, and God wants it to begin with you. The question for all of us is, what has God placed in our hands, and what will we use them for? For the hand that aids another person speaks of caring. The hand that gives generously to someone in need speaks of love. The hand that touches in greeting and friendship dissipates the void of loneliness. When we, in an act of trustful obedience, place our lives in the hand of God, we find we can do all those things through Christ who gives us strength. What I know is God's calling you. What I know is God's calling all of us. Maybe it's to go visit somebody that you know is lonely. Maybe it's to go and finally forgive that person that wronged you long ago. God could be calling you to help feed, to help heal, to go pray with your neighbor. Moses learned to not only carry a staff in his hand, but he learned to carry love for all of God's people and a sense of divine responsibility for their hearts, minds, and soul. It came because he finally cooperated with God's plan for his life. And as a result, not only Moses, but God's people began to see life around them transformed. Debbie just picked two perfect hymns for us to sing. They were about stepping in to God's service because we're a people who know God is calling. And what I like about the opportunity we have to do communion is God knows that our lives can get empty, they can get hungry, we can thirst for a lot of things, but he calls us to meet him here so that our hungers and our thirsts are satisfied by him. And having been satisfied by him, he can then enable us to go out and feed others whose lives might be starved, whose lives might be really, really hungry or thirsting for what is needed most. And God doesn't have a substitute like Moses. His plan is for you, for me, to go. We'll have that if we come and first receive what the Lord wants to feed us. He's going to say, you know, remember my nail-scarred hands. They're going to reveal what I was willing to do to save you. When you drink from the cup, remember my blood was poured out. Remember what it took to bring you that kind of forgiveness. But as you eat the bread and you drink from this cup, realize it's not just an ordinary meal. It's really me giving you my sacrificial love, which is what you need most. And if you'll let it loose out there in the world and the needs of others, you're going to find, wow, things really do get changed in a good and wonderful way. So let us prepare to come and celebrate this holy feast together. I want to remind you, this isn't the Presbyterian's table or the church's table. It's the Lord's table. This is the meal that Jesus Christ has prepared for his people. So if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've been baptized in his name, you're welcome to this most holy feast. And also, when we pass the bread, the doilies have gluten-free wafers, if you prefer gluten-free. But we ask you hold the bread until everybody is served, and we'll eat it together at the same time, showing how we all have our place within the body of Christ. When the cup comes, you may simply drink it when you are ready. This time, the elders that are going to help serve, if you'd come up front, you can take your place on the pew. Everyone else, if you'll grab your bulletins, we will prepare to come and celebrate this holy feast. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life.
Lord Jesus, come in glory.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
And let us pray. God, it is right and good for us to give you all praise and glory. You created this world in love, and you ordered it in such a way that it would go well for us when you placed us in it. But we also know we disobeyed, and sin made this world a very broken place. But it was in your mercy that you called us back by sending prophets. And then you finally sent your Son, Jesus Christ, who not only showed us the way, but demonstrated your love by dying a cruel death on a cross and rising again so that he could offer to us a life of victory that lasts forever. We thank you that even though we rebelled, you forgive us our sins. We thank you that as we seek to live as your people, you give us the presence of your Holy Spirit. We're glad that we have the the privilege of bearing witness to Jesus Christ and your good news in the world today, and that you even equip us for that ministry. So we do pray for this, your church, and for churches everywhere, that you would continue to equip, that you would continue to gift, and that you would continue to send out people who are eager and all too glad to share your good news and show your great love. And as we think about your ministry to the world around us, we do offer prayer for those in our midst that are fighting cancer, those that have to do radiation and take chemo pills, those that have to go for scans and enter into that hard-fought battle. We ask that you would give not only strength and energy, but that you would unleash your healing power as you've promised. We pray for those that have had kidney problems and infections, and we pray for people in our midst that might be suffering from a heart condition or even head trauma. Lord, there's just always need in our midst, and it reminds us that we need you, for you are our Redeemer. Be not only with those that might be sick or suffering or those facing great challenge, but be with us who just need again to enjoy your presence and be filled with your peace. Help us know that your purpose is one that will not end, and it will eventually heal all things according to your good and perfect will. So may we be those people who go where you call and do what you ask, because we know it's the best thing there is. Feed us now and fill our lives with your Spirit so that we might go and help those in need. Pour your Holy Spirit on us. Pour your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and juice, that they may be for us Christ's body and Christ's blood, and having taken him into ourselves, break us up and send us out as bread to feed the hunger of the world. Take us as we are and fill us with joy as we celebrate this feast and look for that great time when you will come again. But for now, we just lift up our prayers and pray to you the way in which Jesus taught us by saying together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, and he wants us to remember how he demonstrated God's love to the whole world. We also recall that night of the Passover. After he had celebrated that with the disciples, he took the bread that was there on the table, and when he did, he gave thanks, and then he blessed it and he broke it, saying, this is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat of it. In the same manner, he took the cup that was there. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. It's sealed in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink from this cup and you eat this bread, do so in remembrance of me. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You are welcome to this holy feast. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Take and eat. Thank you. Lord, help us to be busy about your kingdom until that great and awesome day when you come to establish it fully and completely. Thank you for being with us right now and for going with us to all those places where you would send. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's do like they did on that night. It said that after they observed the meal, Jesus and the disciples went out singing, and we're going to do the same. Our final hymn today is going to be Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, hymn 438. If you're able, let's stand and sing that together, hymn 438. As you go forth to serve the Lord as you rejoice in the presence and power of His Holy Spirit. And may God be with you now and always. Amen.